your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. Yes, I know I just had a client success story a few weeks ago, but we're back with another one today. And the reason for that is I am about to relaunch my group coaching program. And those of you that are still thinking about it and wondering, is this right for me? Probably want to hear from a few more of my successful clients, right? I got you. I recently worked with Chris Zarnock, who is a wife, a mama to a special needs child, and a podcast editor and producer. Now, as a creative freelancer who works from home full-time, who has a child at home, because again, we still have the pandemic going on, Chris really needed to optimize her time, her focus, and her energy. She was saying yes to too many things and too many people, overcommitting, undercharging, and really ended up compromising herself in the process. So some of the things that we worked on in our coaching together were the fact that better boundaries really do make for a better business. And just because you said yes to something doesn't mean you can't revoke that yes later on. We did some deep dives into all the people-pleasing behaviors and default-yesing behaviors that had Chris working way too hard and really doing things that were only causing resentment and fatigue and really weren't moving her creative service business forward. So I think she was very happy with the outcome of our work together. I saw some dramatic changes in the way she was showing up in her business and her life. And now we're going to share our conversation and let you in on what it was like for us to work together. If you are thinking about doing the same, make sure you listen later on when we make the special announcement about getting on the interest list for the upcoming fall 2021 group coaching program. It might be just right for you. All right, here we go. Enjoy my conversation with client, collaborator, and friend, Chris Zarnock. Chris, I've been super looking forward to having you come back because we did some very exciting work together not so long ago, and I'm dying to hear what has happened since.
Well, as I take a big sigh, actually, I mean, a lot, and depending on who looks at it, it could seem like some types of baby steps, but a lot of the work that we did kind of was a lot of interpersonal and kind of that blocking mental type of work that I had to do to break through. And I'm really seeing a lot of the results of it now in my podcasting business and also my personal business. But things are going really, really well. We did the tough work while we were coaching together. And now the tough love that came. And now I get to see a lot of the reward from it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Chris, because I think what a lot of people assume is, hey, you work with people one-on-one for 12 weeks. That's not very long. Like, how am I actually going to make these significant breakthroughs, these important mindset changes, and change my behavior and my habits that actually pay off in 3 months? But I think you're making the really important point, and maybe I need to make that more clear in my content and on my website and when I do consults with people, is it's amazing how much groundwork you can lay in 12 weeks, how many mindset breakthroughs you can actually have in 12 weeks, but the implementation is ongoing and obstacles continue to come up in our lives. So as you face obstacles that you faced before and you realize, oh, I'm addressing this in a different way, That I learned that when I was working with okay, let's do this. And I think sometimes we kind of have to wait for life to give us the opportunity to recognize how far we've come. That doesn't always neatly fit into those 12 weeks together. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, like, you know, you go in and I knew better thinking about what I would get or even need coming out of our coaching, but part of me wanted to just believe it could be this neat little packaged plan and planner or organization chart of some sort, like that you could just give me. And I knew better. I did. I know I knew better, but part of you wants to just believe it's like the magic pill that you can just take and now all of a sudden, or the magic, you know, organizer that puts everything together. But it was, is a lot of the things that were, a lot of breakthrough happened, I would say, is things that we identified, my boundary setting and things that I had struggles with, boundaries that I was setting both professionally and personally, mm-hmm. that were holding back me professionally and personally. And that was something that we worked on. And
a lot. Yes. I mean, your three core areas, I mean, for you, you may have a different perspective, but what I felt like our three core areas were boundaries, confidence, and establishing your value in the work that you do, like the value that you create for your clients and others. Would you say that those were the three, or...
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I think because that those are such big ones, and yes, I happen to have ADHD and those are common for me, but one of the things I know that you've asked me and discussed is like, if I didn't have ADHD, would I still have these? And I said, I think I would. And I really don't know, you know, like the chicken or the egg, which one came first in causing any of these issues, you know, whether it's my conditioning or my ADHD, or one compounds the other. But there are such big things that's not something that we were going to be able to solve.
Even with a wrecking ball.
Even if we had a year. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long. I mean, that's going to be ongoing. But what I did gain out of it were things that now can stop and give me pause. Like, I do remember one of the things you said for setting boundaries or my impulsive yes, because I'm, you know, we identified I'm very much an obliger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm the obliger that just goes until all of a sudden they burst and then they are a big, huge, you know, it's like push you back, rebel and things like that. It's just kind of like an explosion with pressure, but I will impulsively say yes, or I will volunteer before it's even asked because I just feel like that's what I should do or the person will want me to do.
Yep.
And one of the first things that we kind of discussed was that a yes can turn into a no. A yes does not always have to stay a yes. So
you can take your yes back. You can revoke your yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Revoking my yes. And whether it's just because I've had time to process it or that my situation has changed. And there were things where I was volunteering for different organizations. I was spreading myself thin and yes, I wanted to help and I felt like I could. And you asked me, well, you know, why is it? And I believe I gave the answer of, well, then I don't know who else would do it. And you also asked me if that was my responsibility or problem, which the obliger in me going, but I think it is because I need to help and I want to do it. And, you know, and you said, you know, that's good, that's fine. And that's a nice quality to be concerned, but is it ultimately helping you? And is it truly even helping the people that I think I'm helping when I probably am not even giving them my full self? You know, I'm just kind of giving everybody a little piece of myself instead of any of my friends, family, clients, my full entire self, dedicating what they, you know, deserve or I want to give them. So that kind of made me think. And I actually did reach out to a few organizations or people that I was helping. And I said, thank you for your time, or thank you, you know, for this time. I really enjoyed it. Or, you know, gave the, you know, the nice goodbye and let them know when I was going to need to step back or completely remove myself from volunteering and helping. And so that was one thing. And because that was something that I could kind of do more immediately. But the other was really thinking about when I get asked the question.
At the moment that you're being invited.
Yes.
Right. Yes, it's like, because once you're in it, it's like, wait a minute. I said yes. probably without really thinking it through, probably kind of impulsively, probably kind of compulsively, because we're women and that's, you know, the yes is always sort of anticipated and expected. And we sort of think that's the only right answer. And we know that it'll make the other person happy and they'll like us and we like to be liked. And it's all very unconscious, but getting out of something is one skill set. And you're downplaying it. Like, I remember I know you've gotten out of other organizations since we worked together, but I remember you were in one and committing a pretty decent amount of time as a volunteer. And it was during our coaching engagement. And you made the decision, actually, I'm glad that I was involved, but it doesn't really serve me anymore. So I would like to gain that time back. And you did it. You did it without a lot of explanation or apology. You did it without a lot of guilt. You know, you weren't waiting to be punished. But it does take another skill. It falls under the boundaries umbrella, but it's a separate skill to stop yourself from that default yes at the moment of the invitation. And now you're telling me you've been able to do that to some degree too.
Well, yes, you gave me a task. I remember I was asked about volunteering for, I reached out and was like, you know, there was some type of, I don't know, club, like a club or something that I thought my son might be interested in. So I reached out to a friend, acquaintance type somewhere, like, you know, in there, because I knew that they were in charge of it. And I asked them about, you know, my son joining, and they said, well, actually, we need more volunteers. And ta-da. I did step back. Well, I did, because you said, you know, you need to step back. And even if you explain, listen, you know, whether you want to say you have ADHD or not, but just say, you know, I can impulsively say yes, where I'm not giving myself, or where I'm, you know, where I'm giving myself before I know if I truly can. I just really want to take some time. But, you know, just having a script as far as explaining and being how much I want to actually put out as far as why I need to, or just, hey, let me think about this. I'll get back to you and let them know.
Hitting the pause button.
And that's like the first step was the pause button, where this one I had, like they asked, I tried to start hitting the pause button and they knowing probably, I mean, and not even, this is, was not even malicious or anything like where they were trying to meet, but the person obviously knew that they could push me and they weren't doing it in a way.
How did they know? Do you have a local reputation of someone who can be exploited, or like, how did that happen? What do you mean they knew?
It's just like that thing where maybe I'm just, because I'm always used to it. Like, so maybe that's why I give the excuse or reason why I end up saying yes. I see you nodding your head. So
I'm just, well, because I'm curious and you know, I care about you. So I'm thinking, how does this happen? Like, I think you expect to be asked and you do some mind reading. Like, I think you believe that they think you're an easy touch, that you're a softy, that you're just going to say yes. And because that's what you've done historically, it's almost like a foregone conclusion. You're going to do it now, but you're attempting to change this behavior because better boundaries make for a better business. And you can actually make bank when you say yes to you and no, at least to some of the others. But at that moment, it's like, oh, what do I do? You know, you can almost feel that habit. Yeah, you can feel that habit.
But it's just like, they give you that, are you sure you can't help? And that obliger in me, and that want to like please others so much is, or feeling like, well, they really need help. And the person just really wants to like that whole bleeding heart thing.
So they weren't accepting your pause button.
No, I mean, they weren't bad. They're like, well, you know, they just kind of like let me know. So I did do the pause button and said, I will get back to you. You know, let me think about this. And they said, well, this doesn't start for, I think it was like weeks or a month or so. And of course, since we were meeting weekly and had, you know, communication, whatever, I don't know if it was in our, like whatever came first, the session, or if I just sent you a message or whatever, but you know, I said this and you then tasked me to try something with, okay, so you know that the next time you see this person, whether it's close to the time or just, you know, being somebody that is around, whether, you know, they're in the community and, you know, we're not extremely close friends, but we're friendly and hang in some similar circles. And so I'm probably going to run into them in some form, and then they're probably going to ask me and I'm going to be caught off guard.
Yep. And you'll feel like you're on the spot and you can't really think.
Yes. And you said, that's fine. And be, you know, you can be ready for that. But what would be wrong with proactively saying I can't, or I'm not interested, or whatever it may be, so it's just done?
I don't think you'd ever thought about that before, right, Chris? Because
Because and I just pushed, if I got to that point, even if I did it on my own potentially, which I didn't often do, if I got to that point where I could or it happened to be pushed off, I would just let it be. And like, you know, it's like where you tuck it in the drawer and you don't find it like until it pops out of you, or like, you know, a jack in the box or something where it's like, you know, I just don't think about it till I have to.
Yeah. And
I'm kind of doing with that.
Well, it's like the way the whole thing works is that we have this unconscious belief that the right answer is yes. A good person would say yes. A good mom would say yes to volunteering for this group that her son will benefit from. So there's the all
guilt.
This
was definitely guilt for me. It was like a guilt driven thing where I would feel guilty.
Yes. That, and you're like, well,
the emotion of a conflict.
It's like, so, but when you think about it and we unpack this together, it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm going to feel some negative emotion. I'm either going to feel guilty because I say no, or I'm going to feel exhausted and stressed out and resentful because I said yes. It's like, which shitty emotion do I prefer? But I think the real game changer here, and I'm so glad that you had the guts to do it, is instead of waiting for them to ask you again and again and again, and chances are you're going to be caught off guard. And when someone asks us a favor and we're caught off guard, we almost 100% of the time say yes, because your mind goes blank. You don't literally, you can't remember you even have a pause button. So like, why give her that control? Why don't you take the control and preemptively say, you know, thank you for giving me the time to think this over. It's really not going to work. Boom. And you're like, oh, do I really have to?
Yes. Well, and I think you even asked me, you said, you know, like, what would happen? Like, you know, can you go through the, you know, the emotions or the reaction? And I said, just thinking about how I would do that, it would be probably just uneasy knowing I have to do it. But the whole writing, you know, email, text, whatever it may be, like this, I think it was probably a text or something, mm-hmm. I think is how it was. Yep. But, you know, whatever, in any situation similar, writing it. And because of the thought and emotion putting behind it, I probably stress over it being correct too much instead of a casual thing, especially if it's just a casual relationship that I have with this other person, where any other time I'm not like doing like a grammar check on my texts with people most of the time on things like this. But now I am. It's like, okay, make it perfect. What's the tone? Can they tell that I'm not, you know,
the
I'm
perfect no is still a no, my friend.
So, you know, I would do that. And then, you know, I would get anxious and know that I have to actually send it or talk to them, you know, whatever the next step would be. And that would build this, like, you know, building of emotion, building of anxiety.
Yeah.
Hit it. And that's where the ultimate, as soon as I hit send, or, you know, that message is out there, however it is, and it's not coming back, that's where the ultimate, like, huge, like full emotions hit and the most nerves go. And then from there, I'm like, anytime I've been in a similar situation, they just kind of fade, you know. And the only thing that bring it back, you know, is if that person's responds, and only if they really respond negatively. And I believe you've been asked, like, what's the likelihood of that, or how many times? And usually people don't respond negatively, you know, even if they're unhappy or disappointed, but it's not a negative response.
No, they move on and ask someone else.
They do. Yeah.
Or they move on.
They respond negatively.
Yeah.
And I was like, because you're like, you probably wouldn't, if it's someone that's going to respond negatively to you saying that I don't have the capacity for whatever reason to do this, do you really want to do something with them anyways?
True that. And not only, but I think, you know, I think we're also sort of indirectly touching on the working from home, self-employed mom. I think, you know, when I was raising my kids, I had to put them in daycare because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the work from home. Well, I think the internet may have been its infancy. This is in the 80s, but I didn't have the opportunity to be an online entrepreneur. I didn't have the opportunity to be a coach. I didn't have the opportunity to be a podcast editor, storyteller, producer like you. The podcast didn't even exist. So you were either working mom.
It didn't
mom.
Exist when I went to school for communications.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I guess it kind of did, but it wasn't what it is now.
No.
More download from the internet. Very,
very complicated.
Yeah, it wasn't the ease of just access. So it was nothing that anyone ever at that time was thinking that you would be going. It was all still TV, film,
yep.
radio, things like that, your traditional thoughts of.
Which would mean, as a communications person, you would have to go to a job in an office, put your kid in daycare, and, you know, think your life just gets infinitely more complicated and expensive. But for you, I mean, when I was raising kids, you were either a working mom and therefore nobody ever asked you to volunteer because you were working. Poor thing. She has to work. And of course, they thought your kids were neglected, blah, blah, blah. Or you were a stay-at-home mom, which if you were a stay-at-home mom, it was open, open freaking season. You were a sitting duck in the shooting gallery and everybody had a gun. So like, oh, let's get her to make the cookies. Oh, let's get her to drive the kids. Oh, let's get her to chaperone the field trip. Oh, she can be on this committee and this and this. And people literally think you don't have a right to say no because you're just at home. You have time. So I think there's now this modern female entrepreneur.
This middle ground that it's kind of a gray area.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Like you're wearing yoga pants, so you look like a mom. You don't look like you're earning a living, but you're like, trust me, I am earning a living in my yoga pants. And no, I'm not available for your committee or your cookie baking or any of that because I'm working from home.
Well, and I think you also, I mean, and you're knowing you, but it's also an assumption that you're being gracious because you don't know whether to bring it up or not, but I am a special needs mom of a son on the autism spectrum, which can, you know, being a parent is not easy in juggling things anyways. And you add any layer to your child, whether it's actually something that's diagnosed, labeled, or just, you know, kids that can have higher needs for whatever reason.
Yep.
It just makes things a little bit more, I don't know, unexpected at times. I mean,
unpredictable.
I expect to be the unexpected with him even more so. And we learn his triggers and things that, you know, can do things. But there's also times he's doing well now. But when we were doing our coaching, I was in the thick of more of his therapy, so he was kind of doing well enough that he's kind of been able to pull back on. And luckily they say till probably puberty when we might add pretty much most things back.
Nice.
But right now he's kind of, he's at an age of his development and he's doing really well. So things are settling a bit, but it's hard to explain. And also right now, because during the pandemic, when things too, it's like, you know, things were staying virtual and you were even home more, so he might even had some virtual therapies. Like it was the first time we actually did physical therapy virtually for him.
But see, he was one of the
crazy mom. Yeah, on like we hit my son with like my little 5-year-old son out with hit on his bicycle. We had to go to a 4-wheel type of thing, but that's a whole other story. But anyways, trying to learn how to do a bicycle flip training wheels, and I have the physical therapist on my phone through like a, you know, one of those telehealth things, and she's watching him, and I'm running across, and she's yelling through the phone, "Good job, good job!" And
oh my goodness.
And people are just looking at us like I'm probably the crazy mom that is like filming her kid real excited. And
but you know what?
Or this crazy mom yelling at her kid.
But this is, it's another really good point, Chris, is that, you know, you are a modern mom. You happen to be a mom of a special needs kid. You are able to work from home and you were already doing that before the pandemic. And a lot of people are doing it now for the first time, trying to adjust, having a hell of a time. But, you know, I think the whole benefit to being self-employed is to create the business that works for you, your personality, your gifts, your income needs, your lifestyle needs, your family constellation, and your other obligations and responsibilities. So for you to be able to kind of take charge of your destiny in that way, instead of, can you imagine if you were working for a corporation or a nonprofit or an academia, you would have to be constantly asking for adjustments to your schedule because of your son's needs. Now you're able to move your work around him. But obviously that's why we spent so much time working on boundaries, because boundaries within the family, boundaries with your clients, boundaries with other people who assume that you're a stay-at-home mom so they can ask you to do all kinds of things. But one of the other areas that I remember was an important part of our work together was you earn your income both editing podcast for another, for an agency as a contractor, but also you have your own, we can call it an agency, where you have your own clients. And one of the things that was a struggle for you, and I think it's a little bit of an overlap with boundaries and confidence as well, is establishing your value, establishing what's unique about you, because you're not just a podcast editor, and being able to share that in a way where you can demonstrate the value and ask for the compensation that is equal to that value. I would really be curious to know, like, how that part of your business has developed since we were working together, because it was kind of a work in progress when we finished up. Hey, Driven Woman, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Maybe you've been listening to it from the beginning, or maybe you are a brand new listener, but either way, I am so glad you're here. And I hope that you are being inspired and motivated and actually learning how to move your life forward with each and every episode you hear. But I want you to know that there is a whole other level that is so much more powerful, and that is actually working with me. I want to invite you to consider that this fall 2021, is your time. I'm reintroducing my group coaching program. It'll be a small group experience that I will carefully curate by choosing the just right members. You might be one of them. To get on the interest list, click on the link in the show notes. There's no obligation, but you won't be able to hear the details unless you get on the list. Okay? So it's coming soon. I want to make sure that you learn everything you want to know to make the right choice for you. Now, if one-on-one is the only way for you to go, there's a link for that too. That starts with a free consultation to make sure that I'm the right coach for the right reason at the right time for you. But if group is more your jam, you got to get on the list. You want to hear from one of my other clients and what she felt about working with me? Have a listen to this.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice, and now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute. You know,
yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
Yes, and it was, and that's probably, it's still very ongoing, like all of them, but that one is very much still in the process. But it was one of those things when we would talk, and I was, you know, I think I even maybe said this at the beginning, or I can't remember if it's like when we've chatted, what times we've chatted that we've mentioned things, but that my skill and talent, when you'd ask specific questions about that or what I can do, and you would even just kind of give me questions about your own podcast. So it made it like an easier answer, not in the sense of, you know, it was just how would I solve a problem?
Yeah, it's not rhetorical. It's like, what would you do about this?
It's a tricky, yes. It was like, because even when you're trying to pull it out of me of like, you know, my confidence in my work, and you're like, well, you just said you could do that. And, you know, I actually might.
I know that sounded a little maniacal, like, you know, tricked you, didn't I?
Yeah, but yeah. And so it's like, and I am, and it's like, I know I can do quality work. I really, one of the biggest things too, she said, like, what, you know, setting me apart, and it's,
and what makes you
aspect,
different,
whether it's, yeah, like whether it's working with someone before they were like press record or even afterwards of, you know, really filtering out what is going to truly give the listeners, like, so they get your message, shaping that story of the podcast, whether it's an interview or whatever it is, but you know, you have a message and making sure that your listener gets it. And whether that's working with before, during, or after the recording process is really the thing that I really enjoy and, you know, can set me apart of just kind of removing the fillers and making it sound good, which there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, it's great. Some people want that aspect for their podcast, but, you know, if people want that shaping, that's something that I really do for them. And even as you can tell me, I'm like, you know, I can go off on a, a tangent. Of
yes. Work.
But then it was when people would ask me what to charge or what do I charge or, you know, how much is this? And putting an actual number, monetary value, or just even number that says, I am worth this much. My work is worth this much. And it wasn't even so much my work. We, you know, boiling it down is it was how much am I worth? And
I have to stop that. You. Stop right now. Okay. Our official coaching engagement, you know, is complete, but we are still in each other's lives. We still blow each other's Voxer.
No,
because girl, you invested in working with me. We addressed this issue, but you're absolutely right. And then you were laughing because you know there is no blame and no shame in this game. Okay. Because
yeah, I mean, like, even when you come out and tell me, I know, like,
you're like, here we go.
I can laugh because it's like, I know, I even if I don't know specifically what I did, I do know kind of what I did. And you,
well, this, you're not being naughty or anything.
I did, but just, it's just,
it's our mindset
for the start.
It's our
to remind myself I don't need to say it. And this is one of those dose of Diane that I keep with me.
You're a dose of Diane. Oh my God, that's so good. I wish I could market that.
I have my dose of Diane to remind me when I've done something. Oh. So now I know I'm going to have another one. That's what I call.
Do you know what this is so good. That's even better. A dose of Diane. I love that. I had some clients tell me, yeah, I was in a situation I didn't really know what to do. And I just felt so confused or stuck or overwhelmed. And I thought, what would Diane do? Or what would Diane say? And I remember the lanyards that the kids had at the church camp that my kids went to. And I thought, and they would say WWJD. And I thought, ooh, I should make some of, and I thought, oh my God, that's like blasphemous. I'll probably get all the conservative Christians hating on me big time. But the case in point is that, you know, everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a guide. Everybody needs that person who's on the same path, but they're a little bit further down the road, or maybe a lot further down the road, and they've had the opportunity to make mistakes and learn some things, and they're sharing that wisdom to those who are still earlier on the path. That's all it is. And I think for all the years that I struggled with being able to communicate my value, I realized one of the best things I can do for other entrepreneurial women is help them get there faster. You know, this probably took me way more years than it should have to realize it is not the most talented people, the most skilled people, the people who are the very best at whatever their thing is, who reach the top. There are fabulous, gifted, talented, hardworking people at every level of the food chain. The ones who go to the top aren't necessarily the best. They are the best at communicating value. And when I learned that, I was like, oh, wow. And
it does make so much sense.
Right? It's like once you say it, it's like, why the hell didn't I figure that out? But here's the reason why we don't, Chris. Here's the reason why we don't figure it out. Because we confuse value with worth. Your worth is priceless. It is not negotiable. You were born worthy. There is nothing you can do to change that. This is not religion. It is not woo-woo. It is fact. Your worth as a human being is unquestioned. But we get confused with the value we create in the world, and we attach worth to that. And here's the difference. Let's say, well, I don't just take out the ums and the ahs and the pauses and maybe a belch or a sneeze here and there, or when people talk over each other or there's long silences in leveling the sound. You don't just do that. That's basic audio editing. And you can hire someone to do that for very little money because it's a relatively tedious but simple skill. You actually help people tell their story better by shaping the content, removing things, moving things around. That's a higher level skill, and it requires a higher level mindset. Now, not everybody who wants a podcast values that skill, but it doesn't mean it isn't worth a lot or you're not worth a lot. We just need to connect with the people who value that skill. They don't want the basics. They want story shaping, not just sound editing. Your worth, don't get confused about that, because I think that is what holds us back. That little confusion, yeah. not little, it's kind of really big, but for some reason, I didn't get it. You didn't get it. Like,
it seems, yeah, the concept seems simple enough that you feel like it should be like little. And
like you should just know, but.
Yes, but it's, and that's what I mean. Like I, there's nothing I can argue there. Not agree with, but it is, it's just one of those mentalities. And it's like, I knew as soon as I was saying my self-worth.
Like, oops, here we go. Like, I know better than this.
Yes, I mean, and yes, but and it is. It's like, but the thing is, it's like those, almost like those words that I do as a trigger, and the apologizing for everything, especially when, unless I've done something that is.
Girl, what are you apologizing for?
You know, it's like, you know, you said, you know, even if you have to literally bite your cheek, your lip. So it's like, okay, that's my trigger reminder. If I've already done it and all these things, and it's like this whole thing with like my worth and self-worth and value. Okay. So another trigger to put in. So my Joseph Diane could come in and say, you know, I am worthy. If, you know, what is the value of what I am offering? Not my, the worth of me.
And, yeah. And otherwise
it's a stuff. Yes. And that's the type of stuff we've gone over and like that I am continuing to work on, but I am able to approach things differently. So now it is, it's like, I am able to put things out there, even if it's uncomfortable. Cause another thing of saying is, you know, if things may never feel comfortable,
they may never be comfortable, honey,
do it or any of that, but you just kind of learn to do it, or you learn to just work through it, or ways that you can cope with it. So I'm at that stage with a lot of things, and you know, putting my work out and saying, yeah, this is the value of what I'm doing, and it's either something you want or you don't, or you know, I actually am capable of writing up and pitching and selling, but you know, for me, I have to get past that, the mental block of what I'm associating with it instead of just what it is and what actually I'm giving and the value of the work that I'm doing and, you know, what that would cost for my services or any, even if just simplifying.
Even volunteering your time. And that puts the volunteering your time in perspective, which is, well, the value of my time. And again, you shape that around when your son needs you and, you know, when you need you and all of your other obligations. But when you decide, all right, this is prime time, this is my revenue generating time, I want to optimize that time. I want to leverage that time. I want to respect the value of that time. And I don't want to give it away to someone who just expects me to because they think I'm a stay-at-home mom. I give plenty in all kinds of ways, but this time, this is high value time and I'm going to leverage it for my business. Like when you think about it in that way, like there's really no room for guilt or apology. And it's not our fault. I kind of want to close with this. It's not our fault that we don't recognize our value, that we confuse it with our worth. It's not our fault that we struggle with confidence and that we have difficulty saying no and setting boundaries. I mean, this is not a political show, but I think it's important to acknowledge that we have grown up in a culture of patriarchy that has not been friendly to women, that has not encouraged women to feel confident and to say no and to value themselves and their contributions. So I don't think we need to feel guilty, ashamed, apologetic. We're not doing anything wrong. to be influenced by the culture that we've both grown up in. And I think it's a brave choice to choose someone like me as your mentor, because we laugh, we cry, but it's not comfortable, right? I mean, it's not comfortable.
There were times, I mean, I always wanted to do the sessions and stuff. That's not it. But like, there were times where it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm really up for this today. I don't know if I want to do this type of thing today. And I knew I had to. But you also said that, you know, that probably means that we're kind of talking about the things that need to be addressed, because, you know, if it was just the comfortable stuff, I probably would have figured it out and worked on it. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I was ever worried, nervous, or didn't want to work in that time specifically with you. That was not even the, it was just, I didn't, you know, I don't want to talk about that right now.
We don't want to face ourselves and our bullshit and our excuses. And well, but you and I agree on something very fundamental, and it's why you're growing, is that your comfort zone really isn't all that comfortable. It's filled with excuses, habits, and unconscious programming. And when you realize that you want more than that, and that there is something you can do about it, then it becomes increasingly uncomfortable. So you're one of the brave ones who decided, even if I doubt myself, even if I don't always feel confident, even if I say, yes, wait, I'm sorry. I said, no, wait, I'm not sorry. It's an ongoing work that we do. I mean, I've been on this earth a little bit longer than you, and I've had more time to develop these skills. And from where I sit, as long as you don't give up, you will keep growing.
Just keep letting my dose of Diane come through, reminding me either when I've made those decisions or before I'm about to, and keep on trucking is kind of the process I go through now sometimes.
Well, I love
especially
it.
Especially with my work stuff.
One of my other clients told me that I should ask people at the beginning of every conversation, do you need a warm hug or a kick in the ass? I'm like, I think it's more efficient if I can do both at the same time. I just haven't quite figured out the mechanics. Chris, thank you.
We've gotten almost there. I mean, because we laugh, but then we can get to the cry. So it's like a kick in the butt, but then sometimes it's like, okay, it'll be all right. But I mean, you do need both. I feel like it's a combination.
I do. I think so too. No, I think so too.
I think you do it well. Yes.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to laugh when you're about to tell me that I... It's like, listen, you are like, well, you're worthy. And I know that it wants to not really make me cry, but it's like, no, I know that's something I need to remind myself. So, but we can laugh, but I can also know, you know, where you're coming from, where you're going to go. So I think kicking the ass and a hug is you've got it. I think you found it.
Thank you so much. It's always fantastic spending time with you. And I'm looking forward to sharing this. Okay. Be well, my friend.
I can't wait. All right. Have fun. Whatever you're doing today.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community.